Well, good morning. We've had a little flexibility today, and appreciate you came in the second service. So it wasn't much scrambling in this service as it was in the first one. But what a blessing to gather together, no matter where we are and how we are, to be God's people, to gather for fellowship and worship, and to open His Word and to see His truth. And so today are finishing our study through the Gospel of John. Now, we haven't exhausted everything from the Gospel of John. I think this is the 42nd sermon in the Gospel of John, which actually is moving at a pretty quick pace. But we are planning to finish that here today. And the reason we began our study, actually in January of 2020, we did have some interruptions along the way, but the reason we began is because one of the reasons we gather is from Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12, that talks about equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so we gather to be equipped for the ministry that God has called us to do. And so if we are called to share the gospel, then we need to know the gospel. And so studying the Gospel of John has allowed us to be able to see Jesus, who He claimed to be, the signs that He performed to substantiate those claims, to see Jesus interact with other people, to hear His words. Hopefully, we are better equipped to be able to share those truths with others, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And of course, that's why John has written. He writes these signs that Jesus performed, and he said many other signs Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written for a purpose. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in His name. And so that's what we want to do. We want people to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so we have the opportunity to share this good news. And so we come to the final chapter, chapter 21. The plan is next week we'll begin maybe a 4 or 5 week study in the Old Testament book of Ruth. And so be a very different study for us. Actually, I was looking ahead and thinking about Mother's Day in a few weeks, and I thought, oh, Ruth would be good. And then I thought, I think we need a few weeks. So the timing, ending this one. And so we'll do that. Actually, we'll do an overview of the book of Judges on Sunday, because that is the context for the book of Ruth. And so looking forward to that study that we'll have together. As we continue to look through the scriptures and learn from the Lord together. So let's bow for prayer, and then we'll look at John 21. Father, we're so thankful that we can gather together as your children to encourage each other, to be equipped from your word, to worship you because you are worthy of our worship. And so, Father, as we give our attention to your word, I pray that you would encourage us, that you would use it in our lives, that we would be more faithful to you in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever felt like a failure? Now, maybe that feeling was unwarranted. It was in your imagination. Or maybe it was because you really failed miserably. We probably have all felt like failures. Maybe you got an F on your report card. Maybe that brings back a bad memory to you, maybe many years ago. Or maybe you didn't make a sports team that you tried out for. Or maybe you tried starting a business, and after a few months or a couple years, it just didn't work out. It failed. Life is really part of failure. If we were all honest, we could probably share stories about some of our failures. And though failure is part of life, it is also part of the Christian life. We fail to obey God. We give in to temptation. We make sinful choices that we later regret. This morning we're going to see a man in the Scripture who failed the Lord terribly. His name is Peter, the Apostle Peter. On the night Jesus was arrested, Peter followed from a distance. He watched Jesus drag through the streets of Jerusalem. He was able to see Jesus in these false trials as he was accused. And during that night and into the early morning, as Peter was watching from a distance, he was asked on three different occasions, "You're one of his disciples, aren't you?" And Peter denied it. He said, "I do not know the man." Three times. After the third denial, early that Friday morning, the rooster crowed. And Matthew records these words, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So he went out and wept bitterly." Peter definitely felt like a failure. He disowned the Lord. But God was not finished with Peter. And that is one of the things I love about the Bible. As you read this book, you read about a variety of characters. Some of them we may even call heroes of the faith. But the Bible doesn't cover up their flaws and their failures, even along with their successes. And when I see that, it encourages me. It gives me hope, and I hope it will encourage you as well as we look at the life of Peter. God delights in transforming failures into faithful followers. Let's go to John 21, and here we find Peter's restoration. In this passage, Jesus transforms a failure into a faithful follower. And I hope the lessons from these verses will encourage you to follow Jesus faithfully. Let's just read the entire chapter, John chapter 21. "And these things Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said to them, 'We are going with you also.' They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you any food?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now when Simon heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have just caught.' Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, 'Come and eat breakfast.' Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Now, this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there also are many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. As we examine this final chapter of John's Gospel, I want you to notice three instructions for faithfully following Christ, even after failure. The chapter opens with Peter and six of the other disciples who have gathered together by the Sea of Galilee. And Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And the others say, "Well, we'll go with you." Now, I don't think there is anything wrong with them going fishing. In fact, Matthew and Mark record a message from Jesus to his disciples that told them to go to Galilee and wait for him. And so that's what they're doing. They're in Galilee, waiting for Jesus. And of course, they have to eat. And after this roller coaster of emotions that they have been on over the last several weeks, probably a little fishing trip was a good idea. Several of these men were fishermen by trade. That was what Peter, James, and John did before they met Jesus. But what happens on this fishing trip? After trying all night, they caught nothing. As the sun begins to rise, the disciples see a shadowy figure on the shore of the lake. And he calls out to them, "You don't have any fish, do you?" And the disciples answer him, "No." Now it's Jesus who is the one on the shore, but they don't yet know who he is. And he tells them to do a very strange thing. "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." It doesn't make any sense, but they go ahead and try it. Verse 6 says, they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Verse 11 tells us that they caught 153 large fish. The Apostle John, immediately when he understands that a miracle has happened, says to Peter, it is the Lord. This was an amazing miracle. But what is the significance of what Jesus has just done for them? Well, if we were in Luke chapter 5, it records for us Jesus, he's teaching on the shore of the lake from Peter's boat. And after teaching for an amount of time, he turns to Peter and he says, take the boat out on the lake in the water and let down your nets. And he says, you'll catch many fish. And Peter says to him, we have worked all night and have caught nothing, but we'll do what you say. And so on that occasion, when they let down their nets, immediately they are filled with fish. In fact, they caught so many fish that they filled two boats. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, from now on, you shall catch men. Luke 5:11 says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. That was the day that Peter, James, and John began following Christ. And now, a few years later, a couple weeks after Christ's resurrection, Jesus reminds them about their calling by performing a similar miracle. He had called Peter to be a fisher of men, not a regular fisherman. Yes, Peter had failed by denying his Lord in a time of weakness, but Christ still desired for him to be a faithful follower, even after failure. Here's the first important instruction. Remember your calling. Remember your calling. Do you remember the time when you met Jesus? Do you remember when you realized for the first time that Jesus was more valuable than anything else? The hymn writer testified, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. You have been called to follow Christ. You may have failed him. You may have disappointed him. Surely you have. Surely you have some regrets, but Christ still desires you as his disciple. Proverbs 24, verse 16 reminds us that a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he rises up again. You have been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You have been called to holiness. You have been called to represent Christ here on earth. You have been given a mission to make disciples. Don't forget your calling. Your life has purpose in 2021. You have a mission. Don't get sidetracked by anything else. And don't let your past failures be an excuse for you to disobey God in the present. I want you to notice what Jesus does after he reminds his disciples of their calling. In verse 9, it tells us that Jesus made a fire, and he has fish cooking on it with some bread, and he tells them to bring some of the fish that they had just caught, and then he says to them, come and have breakfast. Jesus gave them bread and fish and invited them to eat with him. And this shows us that fellowship is important. And that brings us to a second instruction. First, remember your calling. Second, restore the fellowship. Restore the fellowship. When we fail Christ, the fellowship with him is broken. We feel so ashamed. And so what happens when we're living in failure? What happens when we're living in unrepented sin? We're not reading our Bible, usually. We're not spending time in prayer. Sometimes we even remain in our misery for a time. Returning from failure to faithfully following Christ means that we must once again fellowship with him. Revelation 3 tells us about the church of Laodicea. Jesus rebukes them for being lukewarm. The Christians of that church had an attitude of, I am rich, increased with goods, and in need of nothing. Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And then he tells them, be zealous and repent. And then Jesus says this to the believers who have failed him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. You see, Christ desires fellowship with his disciples. He is always at the door seeking fellowship with us. In the miracle of catching all the fish, we learn an important lesson. Without Christ, we can do nothing. With Christ, we can do more than we could imagine. In John 15, Jesus had told his disciples just a few weeks earlier that he is the vine and that they are the branches. There's only one way that a branch can bear fruit. It must remain attached to the vine. And then he tells them, without me, you can do nothing. Do you really believe that? Here's one way to know if you truly believe that. How many days this last week did you read your Bible? I don't think we should set up some legalistic standard where we would say, well, you're in sin if you didn't read your Bible in a day. But why does a disciple of Christ read his Bible regularly? It's because he wants to hear the voice of the shepherd. He wants to know his Savior more intimately. He wants to find God's will so that he can do it. If you think you can do just as well without hearing the voice of the Lord each day, then you need to reevaluate your life. Do you really have a personal relationship with Christ? If you do, there should be in you a desire for fellowship. Here's another way to know if you truly believe that you can do nothing without Christ. Was prayer a priority in your life this last week? How often do you talk to God in a day? Only at mealtimes? Maybe not even that? Only when you're in a crisis? Is prayer a panic button for you? What if a person really believes that he could do nothing of spiritual value without Christ? What would he do? Well, I suppose he would pray often. He would pray regularly as part of a day, realizing that he needs Christ. In the words of the Apostle Paul, he would probably pray without ceasing. My friend, if your Bible was left unopened this week, If prayer was not a regular part of your life, then do you truly believe what Jesus said? Without me, you can do nothing. But Jesus wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to commune with His followers. And He does that through His Word. And we're able to commune with Him and talk to Him through prayer. He's given us everything we need. So don't live next week independently. Walk with Christ each day, and He will produce an abundance of spiritual fruit in your life. Now, I want you to see what happens after breakfast. After having fellowship together over this meal, verse 15, we read that when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So after breakfast, Jesus turns to Peter and asks him a very penetrating question. "Do you love me more than these?" Now, what does Jesus mean by this? Do you love me more than these? What is the more than these? Well, it could mean, do you love me more than you love these other men, these friends of yours? Of course, there are many people who love others more than they love the Lord. In fact, Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So our love for the Lord must be supreme. Jesus could have meant, "Do you love me more than these things?" He could have been referring to the boat, the fishing tackle, the occupation. Of course, there are many people who love their career more than they love the Lord. There are people who are too busy laying up treasures here on earth to lay up treasures in heaven. But I don't think that is what Jesus is referring to when he says, "Do you love me more than these?" You see, not long ago, Peter had boldly proclaimed, "Though all men may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." And Jesus replied to that by saying, "Before the rooster crows next morning, you will deny me three times." I think Jesus here is testing Peter to see if he is still so proud and arrogant. "Peter," he says, "do you really love me more than these other men love me?" And this time, Peter doesn't compare his love with others. He simply appeals to Christ's knowledge. "Lord, you know that I love you." You see, Peter is a much humbler man than he was before. No longer does he boast about his allegiance to Christ. Now, he lets Jesus make his own judgment. Jesus knows that Peter loves him. Now, some biblical scholars point out that the Greek word for love that Jesus uses is a different Greek word from what Peter uses. In the Gospel of John, however, these two words for love are used interchangeably. we probably should not make a big deal about these different words. However, this may reflect on Peter's humility. He doesn't want to boast of a great love for Christ, but he is certainly not ashamed to say that he loves Jesus very much. The main point of these verses is that Jesus is recommissioning Peter. The question is asked three times, and this grieves Peter. Why does it grieve him? Well, it reminds him of his three denials. But Jesus doesn't want Peter to get discouraged or to give up. Rather, he wants Peter to get busy serving. And that brings us to a third important instruction. So first, remember your calling. Second, restore the fellowship. And third, return to ministry. Return to ministry. Three times Jesus gives Peter a command, feed my sheep. He is calling Peter to be a shepherd. In the past, Peter had not lived up to the name Jesus gave him. Peter means rock. It refers to strength and stability, but Peter has not been strong or stable up to this point. But as we read the book of Acts, we see Peter as a rock for Christ's church. Peter doesn't give up after his failure. Christ restores him and calls him to ministry. This time, Peter will have the power of the Holy Spirit upon him. So often, people will use the failures of the past to keep them from serving Christ in the present. Ladies and gentlemen, this church is full of broken people. You may come on a Sunday and you look around and you think, everybody seems like they have their life all pulled together, unlike me. You don't realize that the person sitting next to you is thinking the same thing. Well, that person next to me sure looks like everything's together. If he only knew that I'm hanging by a thread as I came in this morning. But the truth is that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have regrets. We have failures, spiritual failures. And the Lord knows that. And we're not pretending, but sometimes we often think, well, just everybody else may not be like me. But the truth is, that's where we are. We can identify with Peter. You may have ministered in the past to people. And ministry is messy. Jesus is calling Peter to shepherd, to get involved in the lives of people. Sometimes when you serve others, you get hurt. I've been hurt in ministry, and I'm sure if you have ministered to others, you have as well. Well, what should we do? Keep serving. Keep reaching out to others. Continue doing what Christ has called you to do. Return to ministry. Now, there's so much more that we could say about this passage, but let's close by listening to what Jesus tells Peter after calling him to shepherd. Verse 18. Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Jesus never disguises the cost of true discipleship. But I think the words that Jesus gives Peter here are really intended to encourage Peter. not to be a test to see if he'll keep going, but really to encourage him. Because although Peter was weak in the past, he would be strong and stable in the future. He would faithfully follow Jesus all the way to his own cross. This time, he would not deny his Lord and Savior. This time, he would bring glory to God. And after hearing this prophecy, Peter wonders about John, his friend, his fellow disciple. Verse 20, then Peter turned around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Peter wonders what will happen with John. He probably wonders about the other disciples as well. But Jesus basically says, mind your own business, Peter. You do what I have called you to do. You follow me. You continue to love me and feed my sheep. And that is what you need to do. And what I need to do. You don't know the future. We don't know what will happen in the days ahead, in the hours ahead. You don't know where God will lead you, and you also don't know how God will lead others. Your responsibility is simply to follow Jesus wherever he leads. As the good shepherd, he may lead you into a dark valley. And your friends may not go through that same valley. We don't know the ways of the Lord sometimes, what he will do, why he does what he does, but he is faithful. We can trust in him. We can follow wherever he leads. Let's read the final two verses of John's Gospel, verses 24 and 25. The Apostle John writes, this is the disciple who testifies these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. As we think about all that Jesus did, we need to realize this is the one we get to follow. We have been chosen by God's Son to follow him. We have been called to love him and to serve him. The one who healed the sick, the one we read in the Gospel of John who gave sight to the blind and resurrected the dead, invites us to follow him, to fellowship with him, to believe in him. He wants you to remember your calling, to restore the fellowship, and to return to ministry, serving him again. Peter gives us hope. By the time John writes his gospel record, Peter is already dead. About 20 years earlier, Nero had him executed. He was crucified on a cross. There are ancient accounts that report that Peter requested to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to die in the same manner as his Savior. Peter started out weak and unstable, but his life ended strong, like a rock. And the same Christ who restored Peter will restore you. He wants you to be his faithful follower even after a failure. Will you return to him? Will you repent of your sin? And will you follow him wherever he leads? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And maybe as you've listened to these words, you came into this room not right with God, living in sin. Maybe this year plus has just gotten you frustrated, miserable, angry. You need to return to fellowship with the Lord. You need to get up and start serving Him again. Will you take the moment right now to confess your sin to the Lord, to turn back to Him? Will you commit to doing the simple basics of reading your Bible and praying this week? Maybe you've drifted away over the last several weeks. Will you thank the Lord for the purpose that He gives, for the love that He has shown? And if you're not a follower of Jesus, will you obey the call to follow Him? He is worthy of your devotion. And He promises that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I invite you to stand with me. We're going to close by singing Hallelujah, All I Have is Christ.
I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy and life had led me to grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. But as I ran, my helm upraised, indifferent to looked upon my helpless state and led me to the cross, and I beheld God's love displayed. You suffered in my place, you bore the wrath reserved for me. Now all I know is grace. Hallelujah. So all might see the strength to follow your command could never come from me. Oh, Father, use my ransomed life in any way you choose, and let my song forever be my only boast. Hallelujah.
Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed.